Genesis chapter 35. Now, in the context of this chapter, Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, have deceived the people of Shechem, and they made them get circumcised, and then while they were sore and weak, they attacked them and killed all the men. And now Jacob is really frightened that all the other people around are going to attack him because they were stronger than him and destroy him and his family. And so again, Jacob is thrown to trust in God alone. And this is why we keep having these difficult things in our lives, to make us trust in God alone, so that we get down on our knees and beg him to help us, because he's the only source of help. That's why the Christian life is not an easy life. It's not a life of just having everything going fantastically well, because God wants to develop our faith. So God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and live there. Make there an altar to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother." So God's reminding him, you remember when Esau, your brother, was trying to kill you and I saved you? Well, go back there where you were then. Jacob said to his family, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you. Purify yourselves, change your clothes." So you remember that Rachel, Jacob's favorite wife, had stolen the gods, the idols, from her father Laban. And clearly, unfortunately, the children of Jacob did worship idols as well as believing in the one true God. And this has always been Israel's problem, and it's still our problem. To believe in the true God, but also to have our idols. And so he asks them to repent, just to throw them away. "Let us arise," he said, "and go up to Bethel. I will make there an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went." They gave to Jacob all the foreign gods which were in their hands and the rings which were in their ears. And Jacob buried them under the oak which was by Shechem. Now, those household gods often were made of valuable stones and even gold, so they were quite expensive. So to just throw them away was a big thing. But that's what they did. They were desperate for God's help, and they realized we mustn't worship other idols. Just throw them away. They traveled, and a fear came from God on all the cities that were around them, and they didn't chase after the sons of Jacob. So God did respond, and he will do to us as well, if we're really repentant. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. He built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God was revealed to him when he fled from the face of his brother. So he remembers how God had promised him all those years ago, "I'll bring you back here to the land of Canaan." And God had done so. Despite all the risks to his life, bad people like Esau and Laban really trying to kill him and deceive him, God had been with him. Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, died and was buried below Bethel under the oak, and its name was called Alamakuth. God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but your name shall not be Jacob any more, but your name will be Israel." He named him Israel, which means ruler with God. God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations will come from you, and kings will come out of your body. The land which I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give it to you, and to your seed after you will I give the land." Well, that wasn't fully fulfilled. Just as God had told Abraham that he would inherit the land forever. But God keeps his promises, and so it will come true when Jesus comes back to the earth and Abraham, Isaac and Jacob are resurrected. And that is the hope of Israel, this great resurrection to eternal life, inheriting this earth forever. All because of the great seed or son, the descendant of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, who was Jesus. So this is the hope of Israel. And Paul says when he's being threatened with death, "I am bound with this chain for the hope of Israel." That is the true Christian hope. This means, therefore, that after we die, we're unconscious. We don't go to heaven when we die. We're unconscious. We go back to the dust. The spirit, the life force, goes back to God. And when Jesus comes back, then there will be the resurrection. And then we receive the promises. Because they died in faith, Paul says, not having received what God promised. But they will do when Jesus comes back. God went up from Jacob in the place where he spoke with him. Jacob set up a pillar in the place where God had spoken with him, a pillar of stone. He poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. Jacob called the name of the place where God spoke with him Bethel, the house of God. They travelled from Bethel, and there was still some distance to come to Ephrath, Bethlehem, Ephrata, and Rachel went into labour. She had hard labour. And when she was about to deliver the child, the midwife said to her, "Don't be afraid, for now you will have another son."
What does hard labour mean?
Well, she was pregnant, and it came her time to bring forth the baby. Now, to get the baby out of the woman's tummy, the lady goes into labour. That is, it's very painful until eventually the baby comes out. But it was very, very painful for her. That's why it's called hard labour. And it happened as she was dying that she named him Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. But his father named him Benjamin, the son of my right hand. Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, the same as Bethlehem. Well, with Rachel, she was the one who stole her father's idols. She loved them so much. She doesn't seem to have been a particularly spiritual person, and we notice that she died without quite reaching Bethlehem, which of course was where Jesus was born. So we do wonder about Rachel, but God will judge everybody rightly.
Is she going to be in the kingdom?
Well, that's what I mean. Is she going to be in the kingdom? Well, God will judge rightly, but no. But all we can say is that she's not presented as being a particularly faithful person. Jacob set up a pillar on her grave, the same as the pillar of Rachel's grave to this day. Israel, that's Jacob, travelled and spread his tent beyond the Tower of Edom. It happened, while Israel lived in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. That's one of his wives. And Israel heard of it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12, the sons of Leah, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel, Joseph, and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaid, Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, who were born to him in Paddan Aram. Jacob came to Isaac his father, to Mamre, to Kiriath Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac lived as strangers. So we keep reading that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived as foreigners, as strangers in the land. They were always just passing through because they were really on a journey towards the kingdom of God. And so Paul says that we're the same. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one which is to come. And so that's why we are never completely at home in this world as Christians, because we're on a journey. We're just passing through towards God's kingdom. Now you notice that Isaac was still alive. Well, just before Jacob had left all those years ago, Isaac had called Esau, as he thought, to bless him. Because he said, "I'm about to die. I'm going to give you the blessing of the firstborn." Well, actually, he wasn't about to die. So Jacob actually was the same. At the end of his life, he also thought he was going to die before he did. And so you see how the weakness or the characteristics of the father is passed on to the son. And we've got to be careful that we don't act like our parents, either for good or for bad, just because we are their children, but that we have our own relationship with God. So the days of Isaac were 180 years, and Isaac gave up the spirit and died and was gathered to his people, old and full of days. Esau and Jacob, his sons, buried him. So when the Bible describes a faithful man dying, it just says he gave up the spirit. That is, he breathed his last, just like Jesus did on the cross. And that spirit, that breath, that power goes back to God. And he was gathered to his people. Well, actually, it says the same about Abraham. He was gathered to his people and they worshipped idols. So it just means that they went to the same place, which was the grave.